Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:9. If I can read it here, I might get some different glasses. I can see. And God hath revealed them. Boy, I'm not going to be able to read that. It's too dark in here. Someone read this for me. Okay. It's 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through, see, 14.
Okay. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Okay. Now we have received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
You know, here, God is sharing something magnificent that he wants to share with us. Okay? Something that's inconceivable, that we cannot grasp from the natural person. What's the natural person? The natural person is a part of you that lives from day to day and takes care of yourself. The natural person is what goes out and works and gets you food and feeds you and clothes you and takes care of the kids and the normal things of life that animals do. Okay? That natural part of you cannot really comprehend the fullness of what God has for you. Now, so you may wonder, and I asked myself this when I was a teenager, 19 years old, well, do I even want the things of God? It didn't sound very cool to me. I don't think it fulfilled me, you know, to go to church. Sounds boring. You know, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. And then you go to a Pentecostal church, you can stand up and raise your hands up. It even gets harder, you know. And that wasn't too exciting to me. I mean, I wanted to go out and fight and do karate and play basketball and all fun things, have friends or whatever, and listen to loud music and, you know, drink Pepsi and whatever it was, you know. I mean, let's have some pizza. Let's have some fun. I could not imagine that the things of God could fulfill all the many things within me, the desires and forces that I had. And even within the hearts of people within churches, I don't think they really, really feel like that God can fulfill everything, that it's that great of an experience. We've got to remember, God created you. He created everything within you. Now, we've got off the track, but he created the basic desires. He created what fulfills you. He created you to have a capacity to feel things and be fulfilled. And when we do not think that God can fulfill us, then we are thinking with the natural side of us, we just don't understand. There's some magnificent things that God wants to give you. He wants to fulfill you. Now, that's not the only purpose we have, is to be fulfilled. He has a purpose for you, and in that purpose, you'll be fulfilled. And in that fellowship with him, you'll be fulfilled along the way. Now, everything you sincerely desire deep inside is really you're desiring God, you're desiring his essence, you're desiring that part of you that was taken away from Adam many long ago. Now, in theory, it's been given back to us. Legally, it's been given back to us. But in a practical sense, that doesn't mean that we are really in touch with it. You can be married and not be married. You know what I mean? You can be married and be in a relationship and not really be in touch with that relationship. Anybody been there before or know people like that? You see, you can have the Spirit of God but not be in touch with the Spirit of God. But I can guarantee you, every desire you have, if it's for a woman, a man, a child, if it's for drugs, if it's to go out and have a blast, you're really looking for something inside that can only truly be fulfilled in the relationship with Christ. But we look for substitutes. We look for substitutes, but really everything within us is screaming out to have the Creator back like it was in the very beginning. Now here it says you cannot capture this through your intellect, through the natural man. You can't think your way into a relationship with God. You can't study enough so that you can experience God. With all your intelligence, and no matter how many times you read the Bible, as far as how many times you play a guitar or whatever, that part of you is not going to get in touch with God. Now, I know in our body here that a lot of you don't feel like you're totally in touch with the fullness of God. I would say 99% of you do not feel like you are, if not 100%. Feel like, well, I'm really in touch with this God. I'm really in touch with His essence, really in touch with His Spirit. There's a lacking there. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not dedicated. It doesn't mean that we're not sacrificing. It doesn't mean we're not on track. Because there's many dimensions to your spiritual experience. But there's a missing dimension. And that dimension is that real fulfillment deep inside, that warmth with that relationship with your Creator. Now here it says we can get in touch with that through God's Spirit, but we can't do it through the mind. We can't do it through the natural part of you that reasons things out every day. So how do we get in touch with it? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. In the Bible, it talks about walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, having fellowship with the Spirit. It talks about a lot of these things. And we find that the Bible tells us that's how we're going to get in touch with Him. I want to share with you tonight how to get in touch with Him in a deeper way. Now, you've heard this before if you've been around here 15 years. I'm sure I've said it in different ways. It's been a while since I have. And you see, even your ministry can cause you to get out of touch with the essence of God, the very heart of Christ. Doing the things of the Lord can get you out of touch with Him. Anytime you focus on doing, achieving, you're going to get out of touch unless you approach it in Him, with your focus on Him. If we all get together and have a cleaning party, if you're not approaching that in Him, then doing something for Him will get you out of touch with Him. Reading your Bible can get you out of touch from God, or whatever the way you want to say it. Now, how can that happen? I used to read that Bible all the time, whatever times it was, 34, 35 times, I forget now. And I had times that I got so driven to learn more in the Scriptures and get into the Greek and Hebrew and learn that actually I got out of touch with the Spirit of God. I got out of touch with His heart. It'd be like, you're reading the Bible, your wife comes over and says, "Oh, baby, smoochy, smoochy. Honey, stop. Honey, don't bother me. I'm doing the work of the Lord." I've got to read this Bible. I've got this love chapter here that I've got to comprehend. Out of my way. You know what I mean? And we can get out of touch with God and trying to do righteousness, to think right, to be right. We can get caught up in the doing and get out of the very Spirit of God. Say, we want to distinguish that. Now, in the Bible, it tells us when we do get in touch with Him and fellowship with Him, get in the Spirit, we're going to find rest, peace, fulfillment, all these things that we're looking for. And when that happens, great things happen. Beautiful things happen. It comes natural. Righteousness becomes natural. Fellowship becomes natural. And the Bible here in Acts 2:39-47, I don't think I'll read it since I found out my glasses weren't strong enough in this light, but I'll tell you, you know, what it says. Here it talks about, right after he's talking about the promise coming, being filled with the Holy Spirit and all of that, we find the expression of that experience and how the people had all things in common and were in one place and how there was nothing to sell their things and give it to those who had need. Now, we do that, don't we? We do that more than probably anybody in Hutchinson, I would think. I don't think there's another church in town that has a group of people that have done more of giving up your personal time, your personal possessions, to give it to whoever had the need that week. You see, if it's Esther here, you know, you work, we give the money to Esther this week so she can have some nutrients for her physical problem. Well, and over here we've got Misty, you had some teeth problems, right? And you had to put some money down on that. I think this man right here, Mr. Daniel, you would put $100 down the other day on that. And, you know, we all have different things. You know, Kay needs some shoes. She's got some weird feet there, and they're going to cost $125. Okay? We need someone to get rid of something. We need to take care of each other. Hey, we're doing that just great. Now, are we doing it in the Spirit? Are we doing it as an expression of where we're at in Christ? Are we doing it in light of where we want to be in Christ? Now think about that. Brent, how you doing? You look very tired. You know, so you're giving of yourself. You look tired, you know. But now think about your spiritual experience. Think about your giving. You lay your check down for the group to use every week, and you take out a meager little bit. And who knows who's going to need what this week coming up. Now, when you do that, is it an expression of this in touchness with God? You're working down there, and you know as you work, you have the joy of the Lord in your heart because you just love to give so Daniel can get his teeth fixed. Now, of course, Daniel's making money too, but not in the very week that he got his tooth fixed. I think you worked that week. He didn't work that week. Now, there's another week you needed his help, but was you working down there with the joy of the Lord, and you felt it's so wonderful to work at Mega, where God has chosen me to work so that I can give. And boy, I wish I didn't have to take out my portion of it. Man, shucks. Wish I didn't have personal needs because I could give more. I wonder if there's any way I could do more. Because it's such a joy to give. Frankie. We need you to build this over here. You know, we want you to act like you're 20 years old. And so Frankie says, sure, I'd love to build this. Man, I wish I was tired, though, because I'd be giving up more. I feel so energetic, I don't feel like I'm really doing anything. If I could only be so tired I'd drag home from work, if I'd worked that hard day and worked an extra 4 hours, and the boss was harder on me, and the car didn't run, I had to walk home, and my knees were just killing me, and I got a migraine headache, I could barely get up these big old long steps, and Maria's at the top of the stairs saying, build something for Paige. Frank is thinking, I wish I had that kind of a day, because then I'd really be given something of myself. I feel guilty. I feel so good right now. I don't feel like I'm giving anything. Now, I'm giving you some examples that speak some real truth, you see. Because, see, that's an expression of being in Christ. Being in Christ. Honey, can't you just snuggle with me? What? Can you snuggle, honey? Snuggle, baby. What time is it? I can't sleep. I got a migraine. It's only 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock, honey. I got to get up at 5:30 and go to work. Okay, well, come on over here. because that's what I should do, because I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to be a good husband, you know. Or she says, honey, yeah. Okay, would you snuggle with me? Oh, honey, I'd love to snuggle with you. What time is it? It's 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever's worse. Honey, that's neat of you to ask me not to snuggle. I mean, I tell you what, I am so tired. I just can't hardly feel like I could get up. And it's a wonderful privilege for you to ask me to do this at my worst moment. Because now I feel like I'm really giving something to you. You see what I mean? Now I'm exaggerating, but the truth of what I'm saying is a reality, and that is we need to be there. So that what we do comes from our heart as a natural expression of our involvement with God. You see, I want you to know something. There is no way that I could have been doing this all of these years if it wasn't an expression of where I feel inside Christ. This has been a hard walk for 15 years. Would you agree? So what if I miss call? You know? What if we don't provide just what's needed that time? You say, a lot of pressure. People don't like leaders a lot of times. I mean, you love me, I know. But you know how it's like, oh, Mike, do I have to do that? Well, why can't Misty do it? You got to have a calculator to decide. You got to have a computer to decide who is going to do groceries, because someone might deserve it less. Who? It's going to go on this trip. I mean, after all, I got a toothache, but I got a headache. You know, I've got a backache. So Mike, choose which one should do it this time. You make the wrong decision, and you're a bad boy. You know? So you see, this is a lot of do it, and do it right, unless it's an expression where you're at. If you're doing it to get there, you're going to feel miserable. You're going to feel used and abused. You're going to try to have a good attitude, but it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be so unfulfilling at times. It's going to be an aggravation. It's going to be a challenge if it's not an expression of where you're at. Now, some of you are examining yourselves, aren't you? How many are kind of thinking, you're wondering where you're at? You know, just being honest with you, how many are wondering kind of where you're at on this thing, you know? This is not an indictment. This is not being critical, because we're in a process. And it's normal not to be there before the process, you see? You're in a process. You have mastered many things in this process. The majority of people in Christianity would not sacrifice what you sacrifice every day. So just don't get down on ourselves. Let's look forward to what I'm talking about. Let's don't judge ourselves, you say, in that way. Let's examine ourselves and know where we're at and look for an answer. But let's don't condemn ourselves because we're not there. I would hate to do that throughout my life. Wouldn't you hate to do that all your life? Every time you get to a grade, you condemn yourself because you haven't finished it yet. Oh, my, the eighth grade. I'm not there. I'm just starting. Oh, no, there's a test. I hadn't taken it. I hadn't passed it yet. Teacher, what am I going to do? I know there's a test here that I haven't passed. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? But that's how we do ourselves. So this is not meant to indict you, but I do know I want you to get in touch with what I'm saying. I want you to understand there's a difference in expressing things, doing things, I should say, as an expression of where you're at, or doing things to get where you want to be. If you got to do it to get there, then fine. It'd be better to do it than not. But it's so much more fulfillment and joy when you get in that spot with Christ and it becomes a natural expression of your life to do what you do, then there's a great joy there. Now, How do we get in touch with this Spirit? How do we get in touch with this God? How do we find this fellowship? How do we get in? How do we enter into the Holy of Holies? How do we get in touch with His essence so that we can have this expression of Christ in our life? I don't know. No, I'm kidding. Would that be terrible? Get you all excited about us? I don't know. So I was hoping someone here knew. I was trying to find out. But, you know, I believe in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we find a clue. It talks about a time with open face that we behold the glory of the Lord and we are changed into His same image. Okay, now to start with that, I'm going to walk you through a map so that we can find out how to dwell in the presence of the Lord and be so involved in His essence that we just naturally want to do these things. So it starts, I mean, we can look to the end and how the completion is to come back to the beginning and find out where we start. If someday we're going to be completely changed into His image because with an open face, that means with our will, with an open heart, we are going to look into His glory and capture who He is. And when we capture who He is, then we will want to be like Him and it'll be a natural process to become like Him. And remember, He is everything you're searching for. He's for you. Most everyone starts out in life wanting to have a perfect relationship with a lover, right? Anyone start out hoping you have a lousy relationship? Has any of you older ones, that means above 18, any of you older ones, when you first started thinking about having a relationship, that you would have chosen... Not the person, I'm not saying that, but chosen the kind of relationship you got now? How many would say you would not have chosen the kind of relationship you got now? Let me see real big. How many say you would have chosen it? You don't understand the question. I'm your counselor. I'm your counselor. I know that when you're telling me that your wife is griping at you that you didn't like it. When you tell me your husband is giving you the silent treatment, I know you don't like it. When you say, you know, so you didn't understand the question, let's start over. There's things in your relationship that are wrong. How many would say there's things in your relationship that are wrong? Okay. How many would say there's things in your relationship you'd like changed? Hey, I'm the same way. I got my hand up. I don't have perfect relationships. That doesn't mean that I'm not the problem. I may be the problem. I sure like to change it anyway, wouldn't you? Okay. So when you thought of that relationship, that perfect relationship, you were seeking for something without all these little problems that you have. You didn't start dating thinking, well, you know, oh boy, I'm going to marry this person, walk down that aisle, and man, so they can snub me, give me cold treatments, gripe at me, fight with me. You know, you didn't think that. Okay, so what you were looking for in a person is something beautiful, wasn't it? Love, kindness, sensitivity, people who understand you. That's what you're looking for. And that's God. The ultimate example of all of this is God. He's got the ultimate kindness, sensitivity. If God was down here, He'd snuggle with you no matter what time of the night. You the same? So what we're searching for is Him. Everything. We just distort it down here. We get high on a drug. We want a feeling. God has that feeling available to you. You see? So, everything that He is, if we could just understand it, if we could grasp it, if we could experience it, if we could behold it, if we could interact with it, we would want to be just like that. We'd want to partake in it. We'd want, you know, we want to give kindness, kindness. Give love, love. You say, we'd want to be just like Christ. Everything we're looking for in each other is that. So here it says, if we behold Him with an open face, honesty, open, be honest with yourself. Don't be defensive. Don't be insecure now. Don't put up all those walls. open face, honest, open, willfully, then when we behold his glory, it will change us. Now, I want you to know that, okay, would you wake Dave, you know, his eyes up? You're doing fine now. Don't feel bad about it, but I just want to make sure no one misses it. You're probably listening, but if your eyes are open, I'm going to close, I can't tell. Anybody's eyes open? Okay, if you have to stand in the back, feel free to. Okay, what did I going to say? Open face. Glory. This is exciting. Okay. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I went back to the same spot. It reminded me. When I was a little boy, about 25, it used to confuse me about what is the glory of God? That sounds like a confusing thought. Glory of God. What's the glory of God? Something shining out of him? You know? I never could grasp what was the glory of God. I would dare say that most of you don't know exactly how to grasp what is the glory of God. I mean, is it his personality? What part of his personality? Is it something shiny or glowy? Or what's the glory of God? Because that's what we've got to find out. Because if you behold his glory, it will change you. If it will change us in the end completely, you think it might change us a little bit? Along the way, if we can capture the glory of God. So what is the glory of God? Well, you go to a Strong's Concordance. Find out. Find out where it's at. I think we have a very good picture of the glory of God in Exodus 33. I always preach it when God gives it to me. Never, ever, any other time. Okay, 34:6. Let's start with 33:18. Let's see if I can read this. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. So he asked him to show him his glory. And he says, I'll show you my goodness. And in Hebrew, that's the best good or the best of him. He'll give him a glimpse of it. Now, he only gave him a glimpse of the hind parts. Now, that's symbolic. He says, oh, you cannot look at my face. But he did talk to him face to face later. It says Moses talked face to face to God. So he was using that symbolically. You cannot see the fullness of my glory because no man could do this and live in your condition, your simple condition. You'd feel so guilty. You'd feel so terrible about yourself. You'd feel so wretched, so bad if you could really see truth the way it really is. If you could really see my perfection, you couldn't handle it because you'd compare yourself to it. So I'll give you a glimpse of my glory, which is his goodness. Now, what's goodness? How do we get in touch with that? Well, the Bible gives us more clues. Here in 34:6, it says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed the Lord. What does it mean? And proclaimed the Lord. He revealed himself. Okay, he proclaimed himself. The Lord God. Now, here's his glory. Merciful. Gracious. Long-suffering. And abundant in goodness and truth. Knowing mercy for thousands, forgiving sin. Now we're getting a picture of God's glory here. Now why did he say these things? He didn't even say, oh, he's wise. Didn't say that he's kind, gentle. I mean, he is all those things, but he picked certain characteristics out to give a peek of his glory. Now, if we're going to find him, we need to analyze this with our heart. Okay, it's okay to use your mind too. But you want to open up in your heart. You want to embrace this. You want to receive it. See, right now you're listening to me. It's going into your brain. If your natural person wants to listen to this, you're just going to listen and you're going to go away. But you need to, in your heart, you need to want more than what you are. You need to want more than what you have. You need to want to fulfill those needs inside of you in Christ, if you're with your heart. So when this goes into your brain, it goes into the part of your brain they call the heart. Still in your brain, not this heart down here. Okay? So, merciful, long-suffering, forgiving, interesting, grace. When people don't deserve it, you give grace, right? Some of you don't deserve. Now, if this is God's glory, if this reveals the God's glory to us, now in the depths of all we've talked about there, all those things, there's a lot. There's a lot more characteristics in there. But he chose these to give us an impact of what his glory is all about. Now, it's in his mercy. If you want to get into it, if you want to behold his glory, you're going to have to find his mercy. If you want to look with an open heart, without walls, without defense, without insecurities, but open up and behold his glory, behold his mercy, behold his long suffering. Ooh, I used to hate that word. Behold his embrace, his grace. That's what you're going to have to do now to change you. Now, how do I get in touch with mercy? Well, there's several ways. How do I get in touch with long-suffering? Now, I could do it this way. I'm going to get in touch with Patty's or Tina's long-suffering. Can I get in touch with you, long-suffering? Hi. Hey, come on, play with me. Do something. Oh, what are you doing? Boy, you got a baggy shirt, don't you? You got to put it back on now, don't you? Now, I'm getting in touch with her long-suffering. She is long-suffering with me, isn't she? Oh, I really understand it. Wow, how refreshing. I really got a picture of long-suffering as I watched her suffer. Is that how you get in touch with long-suffering of God? When he shows you long-suffering? When he shows you mercy? When he shows you grace when you don't deserve it? Now you do to a degree. Now, how can I really get involved with long-suffering? Let's turn it around. Jesse, stop running in the house. Jesse, would you stop talking so much? Jesse, oh, you broke it. Oh, Jesse, you killed the fish. Jesse, please don't cook food on the stove. Jesse, you broke the glass in the sink. You don't throw a glass in the sink. You lay it in the sink. Now I am getting the very heart. I'm experiencing the very heart of long suffering. Okay. So, how do I find God? You in there, God? In there, God? Where's he at? Where do I find him at? Oh, hi. Hi. I think I found God. Hello. He's in people, isn't he? Isn't that the closest place that we find God? He's in the air. Hi, God. It's hard to get in touch with the air, isn't it? I know what I can do. I can sing and praise unto the Lord. Praise him. Boy, that voice just gets me in touch with him. Hallelujah. And I love doing those things. Oh, I can feel my heart beating. Oh, I'm perspiring. Oh, I'm getting dizzy. I think I'm going to get slain. I'm getting in touch with my emotions. Oh, man, I really got touched God tonight. Man, my temperature went up. My blood pressure went up. I was so dizzy. Oh, I could just feel him all over. The chills running down my back. The hair was just standing up. God was all over me. Well, you know, every one of those experiences, you can have another way. Many other different ways, right? Hey, it's wonderful to praise him. That is a way to fellowship with God. But that doesn't even come close to fellowship with God in people. Okay? That's where I'm going to really, because God is in that person in one way or another. He's in there as a shoe is in a print. Or I can experience God in a way when the shoe's out of the print. Now you say, wait a minute. If I walk out my back door and my wife says, honey, I heard someone out back. Well, honey, it's probably your imagination. Honey, no, I think I seen someone looking through the window. Now, you're my husband. Put on your muscles and go out there. Okay, so I walk out the back door. It's been raining. And I walk out the back door, and right, I look over here, and there's a footprint that's 2 foot long. Now, I am going to experience the presence, the feelings. I'm going to be in touch with that person without being in touch with them. I'm going to really feel things. I'm going to back up and get back in that house. I'm going to experience something with the lack of the shoe in the print. All right. That'd be scary, wouldn't it? I'd be scared. And that's an example, when you go to people who do not have Christ, you can experience the lack, which tells you something about Christ. That's one thing. When you experience someone who's got terrible personality problems, attitude problems, and they've got loneliness, and they really, really have a lot of lack, it does something to you. It brings out something. If you're approaching a person from the point of view of ministry, behold, open face, pull down all the walls, the attitudes, the criticism, the judgment, and just go to that person with an open heart, with a channel between you and God, saying, God, I'm going to this person to be a vessel for you. And there's a big print, a lack of something. You are going to feel compassion for that person. You are going to feel hurt for that person. You're going to feel long-suffering. Sometimes you have to long-suffer with people. You don't have to long suffer with your wife. You can tune her out. You don't have to long suffer with your husband. You can tune them out. Or you can enter into their need. Now remember the need. If you approach a person's need, okay, you need to tune in. There's no distractions if you're tuned in. Okay? So you need, when you get in touch with a person, you got to do it, though, not from self, because self is going to criticize the person. Self is going to be injured by the person. Self is going to be offended by the person. Self is going to put up a wall. I'm not going to let my husband do this to me again. I'm not going to let him lie to me. I can't trust him. They're dishonest. And I'm not going to let myself be hurt this way. There goes a wall. You're not open. You're not seeing the glory of the Lord in that person. Remember, you're going to find the glory of the Lord in mercy, the glory of the Lord in long suffering, the glory of the Lord in having grace when it's not deserved. How can you do that? How can you get in experience these feelings that's going to get you in touch with God if you got a wall up? If what they do offends you, they don't wash the dishes like they should in a communal home, that's a serious problem. If that offends you, then you are not approaching the circumstances. You're not approaching where God is at. God is everywhere there is a need. God is there to minister and to love and to meet the need of the lost. He left the 99 righteous sheep to find the lost sheep. He is there more than anywhere else. God expressed himself in such a way that the ages never witnessed before. No creation, as far as we know, ever witnessed God like they did when Christ was there in the midst of the greatest need. And the greatest need was expressed in killing Christ, in mocking Christ, hurting him, wasn't it? Wouldn't mankind have to be very needful, very injured? And they were expressing their injury, they was expressing their hurt by killing the Son of God. Because the more hurt a person is, the more they're going to hurt you. The more desperate they are, the more they're going to strike out. The more needful they are, the more they're going to take advantage of you. And so that means the more needful they are, the greater presence of Christ, the expression of his presence is there in a greater way. If you want to meet Christ, if you want to behold his glory, then meet him where he is most intense, more expressed. You meet him in people, not in the air, not in a song. That's a minor way to meet Christ. It doesn't compare. But the meet him where he's most applied. You're over here dancing in the spirit and speaking in tongues and praising God, and there's someone over there in a chair that's bleeding in their heart and hating themselves and feeling guilty and feeling oppressed. Where do you think God's most applied? You say? He didn't choose those positive characteristics to express himself. All of those characteristics expresses a tremendous need, a tremendous response to hurt. Every one of those is a tremendous response to a very hurtful situation. Mercy, grace. So we need to change the way that we approach each other. Now, we've grown in many ways. We have come a long ways. But the next big step is something, and I preached something like this long ago, that you meet Christ in the worst hurt. I think some of you probably remember that, but it's probably been 10 years ago. But now I believe it is time that we accomplish this in this body. This body will dry up and fall apart if we don't take the next step. We got sacrificed down pretty cool. We've got a lot of things down pretty cool. But what we don't have down, and we're really hurting in, really bad, is that we are not finding Christ in each other's hurt. We are finding self in each other's hurt. We are finding our hurt in someone else's hurt, and we're putting up walls. What do I mean by that? If I let Tina offend me, if she has an attitude towards me and I let her touch the part of me that's hurting, then I'm going to have an attitude towards her. If I've been offended by my mother as I was growing up, or my kids or whatever, if I've been hurt and injured and I have injuries inside of me, but if I will allow myself to be crucified and approach that person in Christ, not in myself, then I find Christ. But I got to pull the walls down. I can't keep grudges. I can't keep prejudiced. I can't keep all these things in my mind and approach you and think I'm going to be involved with Christ in the relationship. I can't listen to words in there and be offended at the mouth that's running off. I can't do that. I've got to listen and I got to think, okay, there's a hurting person in there, and this has nothing to do with me. But I want to be a vessel of Christ. I'm going to embrace their hurt, their need, their suffering, I'm going to express Christ. Okay, so what happens? As I approach them that way, then I can feel mercy towards a person. I see how pitiful they are. I see how trapped they are. I see the misery they're in. And what does it bring from Christ within me? Mercy. And it's a beautiful mercy flows through me. Guess who gets it too? Me. A healing takes place. A healing takes place in me because it's not my mercy, because I'm not capable of perfect mercy. I'm not capable of feeling the God mercy, except for my own selfish kids or my own, you know, if I'm selfish, I'll feel sorry for those things that I value, things that don't have walls up. They, you know, I might feel mercy in that. But you approach things that threaten you. You drop the guard. You have to have Christ in that moment reach out because you can't do it. Because that's your great. That's the things you can't stand. That's what threatens you. This person you don't like. That's the thing you got a pet peeve against. You just can't stand that. You see, you drop the guard. You open up, and with your heart, you embrace that terrible circumstances that would normally shatter you. And only Christ can save you from that darkened moment, from being as ugly as you are. And Christ flows through you, and you feel mercy. You feel compassion. You feel the warmth of God for that person. They don't threaten you. They don't bother you. You love them. You care about them. And right then, you meet Christ. You meet him in a special way. And it changes you because now you can have mercy on yourself. Because you've experienced his mercy. You can forgive yourself. You can drop the fears because now you have faith. Because you have faith in that person. It takes faith in that person to open up your heart. Faith in God, I should say. Expressed towards that person. And now you feel faith. Now you can believe in yourself. Now you're not afraid of yourself. Now you don't have to live with insecurities that dominate your personality in your actions. But you've got to enter in to that threatening moment and open up your heart. Be willing. Take a chance. Trust God that he won't leave you in that darkened moment alone to be hurt. And that person might strike out, but it won't hurt you because you're in Christ. Their attitude no longer is a threat to you. That's what we need. Right now, there's a lot of pressure being put on between you in relationships. A lot of pressure. A lot of pressure in your own personal hearts. This is the key. This is getting in touch with Christ. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. It's not going to be like all of a sudden, boy, I've done what Mike preached last Sunday and I'm free. There's a process. You'll enter in and you'll start to feel some of God and you'll close up and then that person's going to stab you and you're going to go away bleeding and think, oh boy, Mike was wrong on that. But then you're going to have something inside of you tell you, no, he wasn't. This is a process. You're going to have to keep going back to that holy place where God is more concentrated than any other place on the face of the earth in your life. The most threatening person, the most obnoxious person, the person that bothers you the most, the things you're most afraid of, that you go find him in that moment because you're finding your own need. You're finding your own need in Christ when you go to the place that threatens you the most, the people who bother you the most. You understand that? Because it wouldn't bother you so much if it wasn't a need within yourself. And you're going to experience like healing as you allow yourself to be a vessel of healing to the other person. Why don't we stand? Why don't we close our eyes? Let's keep locked in the spirit. Why don't we just kind of take hands over here or just spread out across the aisleways. Take another person's hand. Now, we've heard the word of God right from the heart of God. It's reality, it's powerful, it's real. It's something that you can allow to be branded in your heart, or you can just now say, well, we've heard a sermon now, so let's go home. You've got to personally reach out and embrace this truth. Just close your eyes. You've got to personally reach out and embrace this truth now. You have been given the word, but you haven't necessarily ate the word. Jesus said he lived by every word of God. Now you've got to eat the word mentally, spiritually. That means you've got to receive this as something directly to you. You've got to want it. Some of you've got walls up to what I'm saying, some of you don't. You've got to see the beauty of this. Because it's a beautiful, beautiful concept from God. Let's just take a little silence here. And in this silence, you should be reaching out to him, and you should let him reveal to you how this applies to you. Naomi, you might come up and play some music. We're not going to have an altar call.